Galatians chapter 5, and we're on verse 18. And it says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So what we're looking at here is that when we are led of the Spirit, we are free from the law. Now, what does the law say again? We understand this, that we are creatures born of the flesh, having to chase after the flesh. We must follow these sets of rules, including these sacrifices. And if we do such a good thing, perhaps then we would be able to go to heaven. If not, of course, it would be to hell. The other way that we are free from the law is that we no longer have to follow what this flesh desires. When I was saved from the need, I don't want to use that word need very carefully, because the flesh views it needs these things. It does not need these things. As a matter of fact, the more that we are honest about our sin, the more we realize that while it feels quite like a need, we realize how little it actually does for us and how dangerous it could potentially be for us. So we no longer walk under the, I must abide by these things for my salvation, or I will go to hell. Now that sacrifice has been made once and for all. Alright, those things of my flesh, they no longer have rule over me. I no longer have to obey the desire of my flesh. Right? And I can overcome these things. Right, gravity is a law which material objects must obey. No matter what you've got, everything abides by gravity, unless the laws of thermodynamics come into play. Is the microphone okay, brother? Maybe I'm just super distractible this morning. I woke up early, so I'm ready. All right. Okay. I just hear this hissing sound in my ear. But no, gravity is something we all have to obey, unless the law of aerodynamics is also being applied. And that's what grace was. Grace was something that was able to lift us up when everything else drug us down. In Christ, we're not under the law of sin. It's there, but it's overcome by a higher purpose. So again, when we look at this list, there may be some things in this list that have troubled you in the past. There may be some things in this list that are troubling you now. But you are under a higher law now. You no longer are set to those things. You should no longer have a desire, but you no longer need to do those things. I was talking to somebody just recently about responsibility. I think it might have been on Friday when we were having our morning devotion there. You know, we think about responsibility. We are pulling responsibility from people. Have you noticed that? It is not the fact that you drink. It is the fact that you have a disease. You do not have a choice. You do. You leave that wallet in your pocket. You stay at the house. You don't go to the bar, the grocery store, or the liquor store. You don't put it into your cart. You don't take it home. You don't open the bottle. You don't put it in your mouth. Boom. Oh, brother, it's harder than that. You have to understand, it removes your ability to make a choice. You do have a choice, and that's why people stick with it. That's why we stick with it. because we keep telling ourselves we don't have a choice. We take pills instead of learning that we have responsibility for our actions. Hey, listen, if you're doing this and doing this and doing that, then absolutely you're going to have a problem with sin. It's a sin problem. Oh, no, no, I need someone to come along and tell me that it's not my fault. Someone to pacify my guilt so that I can continue on doing it, knowing that it's not my fault. You're not a liar. You're a compulsive liar, right? It is in your mind. It is how you are wired to sin that way. No, you sinned. You're making purposeful, willful decisions. And of course, we can go down this list here. Adultery, we know what that is. Adultery is what? It is a choice. As a matter of fact, not just one choice, but a series of choices. I talked to a person one time. They looked me in the eye and said, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was doing. My friends, if you ever get into that kind of position and you don't know what you're doing, you need to go see a doctor. A CAT scan is necessary. I didn't know what I was doing, right? They'll call the insanity defense for murder, right? I didn't know what I was doing. Then we need to get some medical attention going on that dome of yours, because there's something bad wrong. We know what we're doing. We absolutely know what we're doing. We think about fornication. This is all manner of immorality outside of marriage. So we would use that word fornication. Again, what is that? It is a series of choices. We think of David in this position. David, you knew what you were doing on the roof. David, you knew what you were doing when your eyes were wandering over there. David, you knew what you did when you ordered someone to come. You knew what you were doing. Series of choices again. Uncleanness. Many of us, and I'm going to take that back, I hope it's not many of us, I hope it's none of us, but many human beings fill their lives with uncleanness. They watch vile things on the television, vile things on the internet, violence and cussing and swearing. They surround themselves with uncleanness. Now, what is that? Well, that's just how society is. It's how I was raised. No, it's a choice. It's a choice. Come on over to my garage. I ain't got nothing hanging up on my walls that would embarrass me. Why? Because I don't make that choice. Come on over and take a look at my screen viewing. Come on, take a look over at the movies I own. No worries. Our pastor came yesterday. It was the first time I saw Pastor Hugen outside of a conference for a while. Came on up with his daughter to Xander's birthday party. Got some good fellowship with him. And for a second, I go, oh, Pastor's coming. And I'm like, oh, wait, I don't have anything to be worried about. Oh, wait. No, we're good. We're good. Uncleanness, when you surround yourself by it, don't be surprised when your mind is dirtied by it. You got to close the windows. Can I tell you something you won't tell Danielle? Don't tell Danielle. Yesterday I was cleaning out the backyard. And she says, can you sweep off the back patio? And I go, absolutely, I'll sweep off that back patio. I went in. I meant to get my leaf blower going. I go, two birds, one stone. Here we go. Such a nice day yesterday. We had all the windows open. And I was so excited to have my leaf blower going. Took me 5 seconds. I was patting myself on the back. Went down to the bathroom to wash my hands because it's really dusty. It's really dirty in my backyard. I go down there. The bathroom was filled with dirt. You've never seen a man clean a bathroom so quickly. I changed out towels. I wiped things up. And then I sat there and I came out and there was dirt all over my feet. And I come walking out. And I turn around and coming out of the bathroom was dirt from my feet. And I go back in there, clean it out again. You surround yourself in dirt, that dirt's going to get on you. And I mean that by what we put in here. That's not just a song we sing with the kids. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. What you put in your mind affects you, which is why you need to be careful. Lasciviousness, that's a tendency or a lustfulness, immodesty, proper, inappropriate attire. You know, I appreciate that. You know, there's been some conversation lately about dress. And I made that comment about some pastors down in Florida just giving up preaching on dress because nobody wants to listen to it. Well, that's when you need to preach it the hardest. Absolutely. We were talking about that on Friday too. You know, when you see somebody scantily clad, what do? You get your eyes off them real quick. Why would you linger? Why would you allow that sort of thing? And hey, here's a question. Why would you do that? Why would you participate in that? You know, I was joking with Danielle, and I think I've said this before. You know, it has never been a better time in society to be a white male, to be a straight white male. And how could that be? We've got women so turned around, they're half naked all the time. I mean, it's half naked season. And what do they believe? What is it that we've got carnally minded women to believe in this world? Well, it is my right. I am comfortable. I like the way it looks. Why do you like the way it looks? Because men put it up on the television and put this as the mark of beauty. Men made magazines and put women in it to show off scantily clad clothing. So now what is our societal mark for a beautiful woman? For a beautiful woman? This. So now what do all the women want to do? Dress like, not all, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. This. There was a lady out there, she was talking about this. She was as atheist as possible. And I'd always kind of joke back and forth with her. She goes, that's why I don't dress like that, because that just conforms to what men want. And I go, welcome to what conservative Christianity has been trying to say forever. Because it creates an unhealthiness. It creates a mental, it's mental abuse to women is what it is. And there you go. You know, I went on a little bit with my, it's never been a better time. Hey, listen, if you want to go into the ladies' locker room, you can now. You want to go to an all ladies whatever, you can now. I think it's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, something, I don't know, somewhere out there in the Midwest, there was a guy got into an all-girls dorm, got kicked out for lewd behavior. Who'da thunk? Who'da thunk? All right, what we're seeing out there, right, is this weirdness, this lasciviousness. You know, the debate, well, do we take kids to these library drag shows? Well, why would you ban it? What are you afraid of? No, the better question is, what do you want with our kids? And why are you dressed like that? And why do you do those things? And why do you want children hanging around while you look like that? I'm not just talking about looking like a woman. You know what I'm talking about. You know how these weirdos dress. What are you trying to do with my kids dressed like that? Making those kind of jokes. You know what? It's lasciviousness. It is a bawdiness. It is a grotesquerie of behavior. What about idolatry? Idolatry is pretty prominent today. No, we don't serve stone idols as much here in this country. But we do serve useless things. I do believe that money is a god to some. I believe that possessions are a god to some. I believe that education can be a god to some, and we talked about that on Friday too. Listen, there's people out there. We got some folks going to college now. You know what they're doing that for? So they can go and do a job that requires technical skill and know-how. Praise the Lord for it. But there's a lot of folks out there that all they do is they talk about, well, I've got this PhD and that PhD. Yeah, but you've been divorced 4 times, and you've declared bankruptcy 3 times, and it doesn't really seem like you got it all together, right? I've got a relative just like that. Life is a hot mess. Defines herself by her master's degree. Well, I've got a master's, so have you ever brought that up? Those of you with a degree, have you ever brought it up in a conversation? No? Probably because you're a normal human being. you just don't, you know? She brought that up one time. She's like, well, you know, we're making a decision. She was talking about why she should be able to do something. She goes, well, I've got a master's degree. And I go, okay, well, I've got a really cool, you know, Lego figure collection. It's pretty awesome. But what is your teaching degree going to do to help us in this situation? again, I'm all for education. Get that education. Do the great jobs. But there's people that worship it. This is the idea that we see in society today that your modern day parent doesn't know how to raise the child. The school does. California just passing a brand new law that they don't have to communicate certain things about children to their parents. It's just one step further that where the kids are no longer belonging to the parents. Why? Well, we know better. We know better. You might know some things, but you don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. I had a teacher one time who thought very highly of herself, had no kids. Would always have advice for us to take home to our parents as to what they should be doing for us. Oh, yeah. We're talking elementary school. This lady did this. She was arrogant. No kids of her own. No kids of her own. You know, it's all cute when you get us for a handful of hours a day and you get a summer off. Wait until we're here 24/7, 365 with you before you believe you're so highly of yourself. Tons of idols out there that we worship. We worship politics. We worship a club. We worship sports. You know, I know somebody, hey, listen, I'll be at church. I'll be at church for no matter what, unless we got the playoff game, in which case I got to go. Well, come on now. What's most important to you? And that's the question we got to ask ourselves. What is most important? If I am willing to do anything for the Lord except for this, these things are idols. They are put on the same shelf as God. And one would say that because God is against what it is you're doing, you've put it above him. So idolatry, witchcraft. Now, witchcraft has several connotations in Scripture. A lot of it goes back to psychedelic drug use type deals, putting things together to create that. Some actually did believe that they could communicate to the dead. There's a lot of talk on witchcraft, but not something that we would normally run across today, but in many ways it is. Have you ever heard somebody talk about their drug use and say, oh, it transports me, it does this to my mind, it does that to my mind, but really all it's doing is fooling you? Right? Oh, I feel really, really good. Yeah, that's the sensation of your brain cells dying. That's not good for you. So, hey, you know, you get this, you get people to get the tattoos of pagan symbols, and we go out and we talk to the trees, and you know, I joke to everybody who comes over. We've got a tree with eyes and a face now. And every now and then, when the kids are over, the kids over, they're all running all throughout the yard, such a good time. And I just kind of go over to the tree, hey, brother tree, how are you? And the kids just, talk to trees all the time. That tree starts talking back, though. I promise I'll resign. I'll step down. That tree ever talks back. You know, oh yeah, we do this and we do that, and oh, it's such a spiritual journey outside. You know, we don't believe in God, but we do believe that the essence and the life force of the deers talk to us. And they give us energy, whatever. Just the complete nonsense that comes through in that we ought not to have any part of. How about this? You ever, I hope not, but those people that check their horoscope. Check their horoscope. How entirely unoriginal that the stars and planets would align to tell everybody born in the same month as me the same thing. How unoriginal that we're all living, all however many were born in the same span that I was. How unoriginal that the stars and the planets would say the same message to all of us. Witchcraft, what are we relying on? How about hatred? How about hatred? I see a lot of stuff I don't like. Hatred is an inevitable conclusion to a large amount of distaste, am I right? I hate seeing that. But when hating seeing something becomes hating a people, a person, we've gone into dangerous territory. It's because the Bible says, love my neighbor and love my enemy, right? That's pretty much everybody, ain't it? Love them. You know, I don't like what these people are doing with this, that, and the other. That's fine. That's sin. You're supposed to not like that. But I'm not supposed to harbor hatred in this heart. I'm supposed to understand. Now, in many, don't get me wrong, when we say hate the sin, the Bible doesn't say go be buddy-buddy with the sinner. It says remove yourself from them, come out from among them, right? So I am, there's supposed to be a distance. But if I'm sitting there going, just hanging on to that hatred, that ain't doing nothing but burning you up. You need to apply some forgiveness and some love. Right? I can love people I keep a distance from, right? I was talking to Brother Mark about a Thanksgiving conference that somebody was throwing. And one of the pastors or preachers said is, hey, instead of sitting around fighting with your relatives, why don't you come have dinner with us? You know, around the Word of God. And I thought, I would never get away with that. But then I felt quiet for a second. That wouldn't be so bad sometimes. You know, you love people and some distance. Put some time there, right? I don't need to get caught up in what you're doing, but hatred is a bad choice. What about variance? Variance is strife caused between two people. Strife. That's that battle you're having with your neighbor. That's that one guy who you don't like at work. That's that person who, no matter what, you got something mean to say to them and they got something mean to say to you. That's that conflict in your marriage. That's variance. Right? Just that little bit of strife between two people. That shouldn't be there. Oh, you don't understand. If you don't get them, then what? I've never seen anybody get hit in the face and it changed their mind about anything. I've never seen anybody well craft a insult so hard or so well it changes somebody's mind. You ain't got to do that. We don't have to be a part of that. How about emulations? Jealousy. Jealousy. Well, look what they got. Well, I want what they have. We're working on this for camp. And Maris, I'm going to pick on moms at homeschool for a second. I've never met a mom who did homeschool who thought she was doing it absolutely right. I've met a ton of them that always think that somebody else was. And then when I go run down that person, hey, listen, we're thinking of doing this at camp this year for the homeschool mom, just having a special class for them because that's what we're going to do. There's going to be different classes for them to take on Christian music and biblical stewardship of your finances, all sorts of good stuff like that. I want to do one just for the homeschool mom, see if anybody would be interested in that. I was looking for one person to lead it, and I came to that conclusion, Maris, there ain't one person who thinks they got it put together. And everybody out there, oh, I wish I was like so-and-so. And so-and-so wishes they were like the person who says they wishes they were like so-and-so. We're just kind of flying around. Preachers do that too, by the way. A lot of people do that. Oh, I wish I had what they had. I wish I was like them. I wish I got that. I wish I had this. And then you open up what they got and they ain't happy either. Jealousy is a waste of time. It's a waste of time. So it's a waste of effort. Build what you have. Be content with what you have. You are free. There is nothing I have that, or there's nothing that a person can have that's more valuable than salvation, and I have it. Amen? There is nothing more valuable on earth than salvation, and I've got it. The most horrific thing that could happen to a person could happen to me today, and my salvation recolors the whole ordeal. Nothing. You know, Clarissa Duke, she has a relative named Gary I've been praying for, and he had a stroke. And we've been praying for the last week. It was right around the same time Brother Hilly was falling ill and going through everything he was going through. And I was praying for him. And he passed away last night. If you've got salvation, that don't matter. You understand? For him, what a wonderful thing. For us that are left behind, absolutely. For the family, for the loved ones, for the church members. That is a very heart-wrenching time. But for Gary, oh man, what a wonderful thing. Worst thing that could happen on earth. I got no cause to be jealous of anybody because I've got the best thing you could have. And that's salvation. That's salvation. I got the best thing a person could have. Are you having a bad day? Things beating up on you? I'm having a mildly small. You ever have not a bad day, but it's a mildly frustrating day? Where you leave stuff behind, you forget this here, you forget that there, you leave your wallet back at the house, so you turn around at the corner. Little things. little tiny things. Not enough to make you upset, but just enough to start to grate at your patience, you know? You got salvation. What are you worried about? What else do you really need? Now think back to that devotion this morning. When you've got the attention of a God so awesome and powerful, you ain't got no worries. Now listen, I know. Problems, heartaches, upsets, tribulations, mountains to climb, decisions to make, problems to solve. Absolutely. But the God of all wonders is in your situation with you. You got a leg up. You got a leg up. So what should we be jealous over? What is it that should cause emulation? I don't know. What about wrath? Well, you do this, I do that. It made me real mad. And therefore, now I've got to pour my wrath out on you. No, you don't. Xander, I had to correct him. And I had to scold him a little bit. And the thing with Xander is he's smart. He picks up on stuff. He sat there and he came up to me. He goes, "Why is it that after you holler at me, you're in a good mood right after?" He accused me of liking it. I leaned him over. I said, "Come here. Don't tell your brothers. But I ain't really mad." "What do you mean?" That's the face Daddy puts on to make you wake up. But Daddy takes that face right off. Now, we're not talking real wrath there, are we? That's correction. You ever have to put on the face? Your kid did something both hilarious but wrong, so you got to put on the face? "All right, now listen. That's not going to fly around here. Now you got to sit down for 5 minutes. You do it again, you're getting a spanking. Understood? Understood." And then you go back into the other room with your spouse and you laugh your fool head off. That happens in my house all the time. Melly stomps her little foot. Give her a little. She's crying. Later on, I'm talking it over with Danielle. "Did you see that?" She goes, "Yeah." That's the most adorable thing ever, but what's she get the most? Well, what's wrath? Wrath is that person who's lost their mind on the side of the road. Wrath is the person with the red face and the screaming and the yelling. We're talking anger that is fully fueled and taken over the body and mind. Where they are willing to commit those crimes of passion, they call. There was a guy, he just hit the news and we'll be done. He got so angry because his chicken wing order was wrong. He assaulted the guy behind the counter, did some kind of vandalism to the front counter, went out to his truck, got into his truck, drove through the front window of the restaurant. I bet those chicken wings probably cost like $10. Put the rest of his life on it though, didn't he? He's going to be dealing with that for a very, very long time. In our moment, we feel that wrath is necessary. We think that wrath is justified. But you'll spend the rest of your life dealing with the consequences of your wrath. You ever lose somebody in your life that you can't talk to anymore because you blow a temper at them so hard they won't come near you? I hope not. You ever get into a conversation or see two people where they're just done because of the effects of wrath? We don't need to listen to that part of our mind. We're free from it. All right, we'll pick up next week. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we go through these things, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but Father, you've preserved your word for a reason, that, Lord, we would look at these things with the proper mind. We're free from these things. There's no need for us to obey or abide in these things. They are dangerous, they're treacherous, and, Lord, they show a lack of appreciation towards you when we commit them. Lord, there's the fruit of the Spirit that I'm looking forward to getting into. Lord, those are the things that we're free to have, Lord, that we're able to grow in our lives. And if I had to look between the two lists, Lord, I know which one I'd want. So, Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture as we go through it. I pray that it not become mundane, but that, Lord, it come alive before us. And that, Lord, it would help us to see our situations and see the decisions that we make in the proper light, Lord, your light. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.